All you got to tell me is Pennsylvania, especially the northeastern central quarter of the state, and I'm in. I had 6 good years in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, met my wife there, and I love going back and seeing my friends and playing some disc golf. So, hey, Pennsylvania, straight to the top of the list.
Absolutely. In fact, my first 2 years I was at Penn State Wilkes-Barre out at Lehman. So the old back mountain, know it well.
It's beautiful up there.
All right, now for somebody like me, obviously in broadcasting Penn State games, I've seen a lot of these teams play in person because a lot of the field's Big Ten teams, as a matter of fact. But I also saw Virginia Tech VCU as well. What kind of learning curve is there for you to get ready for this? Because a lot of CBS Sportsnet stuff is Mountain West and things like that. So what kind of curve do you have to get used to now?
Biggest thing for me is to brush up on teams I just flat out didn't see, whether I'm at work or at home, if they play late at night on nights where I'm not working. But, you know, I had a good number of weekends in the main CBS chair where we had Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, right, even Indiana, so where it was a rougher year for them. So I've seen a lot of the Big Ten's big boys, which is more than half the conference getting into the tournament, of course. And I'll tell you this, I don't know how it is for you. When I'm at work, I probably see less of the other games than when I'm at home and can actually put my feet up and just hone in and crank up the volume. So,
you know, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny you say that. That's true. That's very true. Yeah. I've told people I know more about Pac-12 football because Jack Ham and I are doing a game during the course of the day, and I'll get home and I'll watch a Pac-12 game.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll do the SEC on CBS football game, and I'll have that one on blast in my ear. If there's a concurrent Big Ten game, it's on a TV in the room, but I'm not hearing it unless I dial it in and specifically listen. Then I go home and watch those primetime games at the 10 o'clock kickoffs, and I'm completely dialed in. So a lot of the Monday night basketball games, if the team played on Monday night, I saw them. I watch every doubleheader on the Monday nights when I'm not working, and our CBS Tuesday and Thursdays when I'm not working. But, you know, Wednesdays I'll be so tied down, really focusing on Mountain West, I may miss a Penn State game, so to speak. It's on a monitor, but it's hard to really dial in. You know, you watch football on mute, you can kind of look up and see what's happening and if it's about to be a touchdown or a big play in progress. Basketball, it's like a lot of back and forth, and so you don't really get the gist as much. But the box score can tell you a whole lot of stuff, too.
What's the art of sitting in that chair and then bringing out the best of the other people on the set?
Body weight squats in between segments, for sure. I mean, really, it's like just working with these guys for so many years. Wally Zerbiak, Steve Lapis, Pete Gillen. Yeah. John Rothstein, who I'm still trying to figure out, Gary Parrish. A lot of these guys have been with us a long time. Ryan Hollins played at UCLA. And just kind of catering to their area of expertise, or just watching a game with them and listening to what they say. I mean, so much of it's just listening and throwing actual questions at them. I think, you know, what you do, you know how to ask questions. A lot of people don't always really ask questions. They just kind of stop talking.
Yeah. That's true. I remember I was on a show in the summer. I was on Sirius, and they asked me about what the goals were for the year. And I said the goal was to play a game. The second goal was to play a second game. Adam, in your opinion, in watching all this play out, how remarkable is it that we're at this point and have a tournament?
I think it's beyond remarkable, and I think that everyone in some way right now is worn out and fatigued. Whether it's through being sick, knowing people who were sick, knowing people who passed away, or just wanting normal so badly that they're going crazy. I mean, there's a lot going on right now. I think it's an incredible amount of effort and dedication by the kids who are going to be on the court, their families, the coaching staff. And I think that we're going to see even to a greater extreme the emotional highs and lows that come with winning and losing in this tournament, because every day everyone involved has been doing the testing and the masks and the protocols and self-denial while knowing, I mean, it's been like the ultimate FOMO experience, whether you're a Division I athlete or a suburban parent. Oh, they're getting together, they're going out for dinner, we're not. Well, what are they, how come they're doing? And then it becomes, you know, into greater, like, are we doing the right thing? Are we doing the wrong thing? So there's going to be buzzer beaters, and there's going to be upsets, and it's going to be at those moments where the losing team has all of that effort and all of that dedication and all of that thought hit a wall, and it's going to be over. And I think that, you know, it's just going to be, like I said, just crazy, crazily emotional. And watching these one-bid league teams cut down nets and go to the NCAA tournament, you know, whether yes. it's Alabama, who hasn't been used to doing it, but was the team to beat in the SEC, or whether it's Hartford doing it for the first time ever. I mean, the looks on these kids' faces to cut down the net, because not everybody even has a goal right now in our country. You know, we're all just trying to stay healthy. We're all just trying to get out of it. You know, these guys are actually trying to achieve greatness and win something in the midst of all this, and it requires so much more than it normally does.
I was kidding, John Gallagher, the coach at Hartford. He's a St. Joseph's graduate. And I said, well, on the Feast of St. Joseph, you get to play Baylor. So there you go. I was kidding.
He's hilarious, by the way.
Oh, isn't he? He's one of the funniest. Because Dick Girardi and I know him pretty well. And he's something else. Finally, for you, because I know I have to let you go, because you have a time frame here, and I want to respect that. You talk about the emotion of this. What does it take on your part to then convey that emotion from a studio perspective so that emotion is conveyed to us at home once we've experienced it watching it live?
Just kind of reminding everyone how a lot of these guys feel right now, and just even when we replay it, just to not talk over it, really. Let everybody digest it again who hasn't seen it. Not tell people how they should feel about it, really. And you know, the sound bites, the interviews that'll come as a result of what these guys do, and just, I think, a reminder. Like, it's not like I'm telling anyone at home that they don't know what's going on, because we're all in this right now. We're all in this right now. But you know, I think it's an extra toll for the Big Ten teams who had an extra week and a half in this Indianapolis bubble of being on this regiment of. In your room, here's your food, play some video games, go to class, go to practice. You know, I wish every team could win one more before they have to lose one.
Yeah, and go over to Victory Field, play a little badminton, things like that.
Yeah, get outside. Gosh,
that's what they get
doing
outside.
That in the Northeast again.
Victory Field. Adam, tremendous respect for your work. Thanks so much for the time you gave today. Hopefully it's not the last time we have you.
Yeah, hit me up, man.